Darren, Kerry and Sky, East Coast Radio.
Darren, Kerry and Sky here on East Coast Radio. Now we have our expert on the line, virus hunter, Professor Tulio de Oliveira, answering all of your COVID-19 related questions. Any questions you have, you just WhatsApp them to 061-792-9495. Good morning, Professor.
Hey, good morning, Darren, and good morning, all in the listeners. In this cold day in Durban, eh?
It is a bit nippy, eh? A little bit overcast. We were distracted by the heat yesterday, but Sky has a very important question for you.
Yeah, good morning, Prof. Just quickly, before we get started and stuff, just want to know, Prof, is it scientifically possible not to have Eminem as your top five greatest rappers of all time? You do not. Yeah, so can you maybe give us an explanation there? If how is it possible that someone won't have him in their top five?
Okay, sorry, Sky. I couldn't completely understand your question. You're talking about Eminem.
Yeah,
right?
Eminem the rapper. I'm the Sim Shady Zon Lil Shang. Please stand up. That one.
No, Professor, I'm sorry.
Yes, no problem. The answer is not. Yeah, and but it's up to you, Sky.
Okay, thank you, Prof. It's not. So it's not possible not to have him in your top five.
Correct.
According to the Prof.
Scientifically proven. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Prof. We'll send your message to
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. So we got a message here. Does humidity also reduce the active nature of the virus? And is it denture? Right? Denture, the active proteins in the virus, thus destroying it. Prof.
Okay, thanks for this question. Yeah, and the answer is no. Yeah, humidity doesn't play any important role on decreasing the protein or decreasing viral transmission. What we have found in countries across the world is the opposite, but that's not because biological reason of the virus, but when it's very humid or rainy or the weather is bad, people tend to concentrate more in small spaces. Yeah.
Okay.
And if you have more people in small spaces, of course, it's more difficult to maintain social distancing, and then you end up with higher infection rate. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that, if you're going to remember, around a month ago when we focused on Japan, that in Japan, one of the main public health guidelines is that people should avoid that crowded space. Yeah. And what we found is that by being very humid in a rainy day, people tend to stay less on the open and more in crowded space.
Professor, this is actually a question from me, from Kerry. I know two people, it was firsthand, who were tested for COVID-19 by the government because they had come into contact with someone who tested positive. Those tests happened 4 weeks ago, and neither of these two women have received their tests back yet. My question to you is, if their tests had to come back now, 5 weeks almost later, and one or both of them said positive, what happens now? Because they've already waited so long. So what happens if this positive result comes now, but it's been so long?
Okay, thanks for that question. This is a very important question, what we call the turnaround time of the test results. Yeah. Optionally, we need the test results to come within 24 hours or 48 hours, yeah, to be effective. What it means, if someone tests positive, they can isolate themselves so they don't transmit to other people. Or if they are sick, they tend to present earlier to the hospital. That's another good effect of the testing, yeah. When a test tests like a week, it is effectiveness is very low, yeah. So 2 weeks later would be no value on getting a test result, yeah. Of course, that's what one should do. It is look for symptoms, yeah. If you tested and your test results haven't come back, and then if you develop any kind of symptoms, yeah, you have to self-isolate it, or if you start having difficulty to breathe, to present to a hospital. So unfortunately, it's a sad reality that we are trying to deal, both at CRISP. CRISP is doing a lot of testing for the NHLS now to decrease the turnaround time. And the public laboratories also try hard. And sometimes what they have to do is to prioritize the testing to healthcare workers or for sick patients. but I believe that the turnaround time is beginning to improve more recently. Yeah.
And it is crucial, obviously. When we come back, questions just come through on our WhatsApp line for you, Professor. You could think about it during the interim. Does microwaving take out or kill the virus? The professor will answer that question when we come back, right here with Darren Carey and Sky on East Coast Radio.
So you've got the opportunity to ask a question to Professor Tulio right now. You can send your question via WhatsApp to 061-792-9495. And before we get into the microwaving question that Darren mentioned, we've got an important bit of fake news that we've got to attend to. That's coming from Lady Gaga, dancing emoji. Hey guys, I've been reading online that Cold Guard throat spray is 98% effective in deactivating the virus within 20 minutes. Is this true?
No, unfortunately, it is not true. Of course, it would be fantastic if it was true. And would it be fantastic that not only could inactivate the virus, but could also get some mint spray in your throat and you could smell good. But unfortunately, it's no. It is no, no throat spray will inactivate the virus or avoid infection. Yeah. And we don't suggest people to be using throat spray, especially because it's not going to have an effectiveness. And sometimes you are unaware what is inside that throat spray. Yeah.
All right. So watch out for that fake news, and let's hope that Cold Guard throat spray doesn't become the new hydroxychloroquine. Professor, let's ask you the question about the microwave oven. A lot of people saying that, yeah, you can put your stuff in the microwave. Can the microwave kill the coronavirus, and how strong must the microwave be, or how long do you have to leave it in there? What information do you have on that?
Okay, so one of the things that we know about coronavirus is that if there is virus in a surface or in a food or something like that, and if it's heated for over 60 degrees for more than 15 minutes, that would inactivate the virus. Yeah. So it is wise to heat food before eating, especially if you take away or if someone have got in contact. Yeah. Mm. So that's gonna be one option. However, people also have to be careful to not take that to the next level, such as try to put oneself inside the microwave or expose oneself to microwave or to extreme heat. Because one thing that we know, if your body temperature increases above 40 degrees, and that's why it's so important to control fever, you will start to have denaturation of your own body proteins. Yeah. So my answer it is wise to warm food. Yeah. Before eating these days, but we don't see a role of microwave to prevent or cure infections on people.
All right. Let me ask you about hand sanitizers, Professor. Say, for example, I've got a top of the range, over 70% alcohol hand sanitizer here. I sanitize my hands thoroughly, and then I go to the kitchen and I touch the kettle and I touch the coffee tin and I touch the milk and I touch the fridge and I touch the cutlery. How long is this hand sanitizer going to be effective for?
So what's going to happen with alcohol is that it's going to evaporate very quick from your hands. Yeah. So if you put a sanitizer with a high alcohol content, you're going to see that in a few seconds, your hands, it is dry again, and that has evaporated. Mm-hmm. So in reality, what the hand sanitizer will do is to clean your hands for things that were in your hands before. Yeah. Will not protect you from touch other objects. Yeah. And so what you have to do once you have touched other objects, especially that other people get in contact, then you would have to clean your hands again. Yeah. Not only with hand sanitizer, but also washing the hands can be even more effective if you do a good long wash. Yeah.
Mm. All right. Good to know.
Prof, I got a message from Princess Anna or Zena with an X. So I would like to know if I can get the Rona while taking a walk on the road pavement without my mask, and if the area is not busy, and is it necessary to wear a mask on the road if there are not many people around?
Okay. So So normally one thing that we know quite well is that coronavirus will not spread very effectively in open areas, yeah, such as open roads or open parks. And that's why a lot of times, especially in Europe, people is deciding to like cycle to work, yeah, or instead of being in confined environments such as public transport, to be in an open environment, yeah. So we know that well. In relationship about using your mask in an open space, yeah, what we think at this moment that we are close to our peak infection in South Africa, we hope is that that's the case. Any help that we can do is very important to try to control that virus. So my suggestion it is for the next few weeks to people to use as much as possible a mask, including in open space. Yeah, and as we control the virus, we may be able to relax some of that restrictions. Yeah.
Then we've got another question for the professor. There's a lot of media going around that suggests that hydroxychloroquine in combination with zinc and Zithromax is proving to be not only a treatment for COVID-19 but also the prevention of the virus. Is there a providence or is there providence to this statement? And if countries overseas are starting to make this combination a prescription to treatment of COVID-19, why are we not at least looking into this possibility? And if we are, what is the current progress?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your question. Yeah. That keep coming over and over again. Yeah. The answer is no. It's not effective. Hydroxychloroquine is mixed with zinc or with other substances. They have shown that over and over again. And one of the reasons why we think that all this kind of fake news keep coming about throat spray, about drinking hot water and lemon, using a drug that's widely available. It's just that people is desperate to find a magic bullet that was there and no one had seen. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Yeah, the world have reacted very strong with clinical trials for all kinds of different treatments, yeah, and that's happening in hundreds of different countries. So at the moment they are testing a lot of potential treatments, yeah, and now vaccines, yeah. And what we have found is that hydroxychloroquine or this very other simple one that I mentioned, they have no efficacy. And sometimes if taken in high doses, it can develop very strong side effects.
Thanks, Prof. This question, every time we have you on the line, it sort of comes around in different ways, shapes, and form. But the sentiment to this question is, surely drinking lots of liquids repeatedly will flush the virus, if it exists in your throat, down to your stomach, and your gastric juices can destroy it. Is there any science to this?
No, there's no science to that. I believe that I answered that last week or the week ago. Of course, drinking a lot of liquid is good for you. Not too much, but to keep hydrated is good for you. But will not protect you to viral infection. But for example, if you develop fever and you tend to lose a lot of liquid and become dehydrated a lot of times, especially children end up in hospital from dehydration. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So being well hydrated will help with the symptoms, but it will not protect you from infection and neither will clear you from infection, and probably it's just going to make you go lots of time to the bathroom every day.
Doc, Prof, before you go, we got a voice note here from Philip.
We are being screened every morning and they take our temperature. Would weather temperatures affect our body temperature?
Okay. So that's a question that came over and over about the effectiveness of using thermometers to detect coronavirus infection. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not an effective method. And if you're going to remember, in South Africa, as we enter the country in all our airports, we had temperature screening, and during February and March, when all the lineages were introduced in South Africa, we haven't found a single person in the airport that was stopped from high temperature, and coronavirus got introduced hundreds, if not thousands of times in the country during that time. Yeah. So it's not an effective method, and it's even less effective when people are using very cheap thermometers that get very close to your face, which puts the people taking the temperature at risk, because they are getting sometimes with centimeters, if not touching every person that enters in a shop or in an area. Yeah. And I do worry for these people, because not only they may be using a method that's ineffective, but they are putting themselves at risk, because they are losing social distance to every single individual that arrives at the work environment. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the lesson that we've learned here is that we need to take our own personal responsibility for this. I have my own proper mouth thermometer. I check my temperature twice a day, and if I'm over, then I will just stay at home. And I think I advise everyone else to do the same. Just take your own sort of like responsibility. We have another question.
Yeah, we got a question here from Kebka Bruce. Good morning, team and professor. My question is, if a person tested positive for the virus and cured of it, is he or she still contagious?
Okay, I didn't got completely the question. I understand if they test positive, what is?
Yeah, so if they get tested positive and then get cured, so they recover, are they still contagious?
Okay, thank you for this question. No, when people recover, they are not contagious. Yeah. And that's the reason why we ask some people that test positive to self-isolate for around 10 days, especially then when clear the symptoms, they can go back to the work or to the university or to the school. So that's the thing. Of course, if after 10 days they develop strong symptoms and they are coughing, then they're still going to be contagious, but then they wouldn't be considered as recovered. Recover is someone that got infected and either develop symptoms and recover, or didn't develop many symptoms and recover and become uninfectious.
Professor, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning and answering all of our questions.
Okay, thank you. And one thing that I would like to talk to you guys probably next week is the effect of mental health.
Yes,
because
please.
It's something that we are very worried is one of the very strong effects of this pandemic.
Yeah.
And mental health from like doctors that are getting completely traumatized from people dying in the hospitals, or for also people losing jobs and losing income. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be great if next week we could focus a little bit on mental health.
100%.
And my suggestion is to invite one of my good friends, a professor and the head of the psychiatrist department at the Nelson Mandela School of Medicine, to see if he can help us to answer some of the mental health questions.
I would love that. That is a fantastic suggestion and absolutely so important right now. So we can look forward to that next week. That was our professor, Tulio de Oliveira, answering all of your COVID-19 questions. We had Ashton Naidu yesterday answering all of your legal questions, and tomorrow we got Wendy Nola answering all of your consumer questions, and we did this last week and the week before. So a lot of the questions that you would have in these realms have already been asked and answered. They're all available on our website, on our podcast. Go to ecr.co.za, look for podcasts, or Darren, Kerry and Sky, or even search it wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts.
Darren, Kerry and Sky, East Coast Radio.